being one of those Americans, in particular Christian Americans. We're going to talk about that this morning as well. So join the conversation because it's an important one. Again, you can call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. Now, where do we even begin with this? It seems like there's a lot of places to begin, right? A weekend can bring a whole ton of news. It could bring news that absolutely just changes the course of the week and changes even the course of a nation. And we're even seeing that this week. We knew it's been coming, the Supreme Court hearing arguments on homosexual marriage. And this is going to be the issue of the year for the country. Some people think it's a non-issue. They think that, well, what's the big deal? You could have homosexuals marry and there's no qualms about it. If they want to get married, go ahead, let them. I know my generation, which is part of the millennial generation, that's the generation I belong to. That's exactly what that line of thinking is. Well, there's no real issues with it. Why should we even bother telling other people what they should and shouldn't do? It's not our business. It's their life. Go ahead and let them lead it. And that's one large area of thought. But then you have the other area of thought, which would be more along a Christian area of thought, which sits there and goes, well, this is destructive to people's lives. Did you know homosexuality used to actually be in the DSM? That's the Diagnostics, and please, I'm getting this acronym wrong, but essentially it's a manual for psychology, where homosexuality was actually labeled up until some years ago a pathology. Where homosexuality literally was a psychological pathology. And that's, you can't ignore that. Why would that be in the manual in the first place? Again, this is a manual that's used by psychologists to diagnose different kinds of psychological disorders, some of which are like obsessive compulsive disorder, sociopathology, psychopathologies, schizophrenia, everything that you can possibly label in the psychological realm. These all fall into this DSM, as it's called. I remember when I was in college, I was learning about it. I took a course on psychology, which is an intro course. I'm by no means a psychologist. But it's very interesting that homosexuality was actually a pathology up until a certain amount of years ago. So there's a reason, at least, that the generation prior to us right now in this nation thought that. And there's a very interesting story I want to tell you, and we could probably get into it a little bit more after this first break. We're not so close to the first break, but and I've talked about him before on the air. A man who actually I had the pleasure to meet and actually had the pleasure to go to the same church as, and he was a man who led a homosexual lifestyle for many, many years. He actually even scheduled himself to get a sex change operation. And he was in line, and he was searching. He came from a home where basically he was abused as a child. And it's interesting to find that most people who do lead a homosexual lifestyle either come from a home of abuse or a broken home. That's not to say anything against them personally. It's just to say that's the statistics. That's what happens. They come from that background. And it's unfortunate, and not just unfortunate, it's tragic that anyone should have to endure something like that. But I had the pleasure to meet this man and go to church with him when he was there, because he was actually a minister. He was leading a homosexual lifestyle many years ago. And he was praying to God that God would show him truth. He was reaching out to God like each and every one of us do, even if we're not actively looking, but maybe we're searching. We're searching in our hearts, and we know that God exists and that something's out there, but we don't know how real is he for me. How real is he really to me? Where is he going to actually reach out to me? Is he going to really actually come and be a part of my life? And he did that. And it's a tremendous story. Again, we'll probably go into a little bit more of that into the next break, but it's a tremendous story I had the pleasure to actually meet this man and go to church with him. He's a wonderful man. He actually has a family now, and he actually is a grandfather, and he would share his story of how God led him out of the homosexual lifestyle. And if you met him, you may even still think he's homosexual because he's feminine. He has feminine qualities. Now, that's in large part because he was raised by his mother. But he's not homosexual. He actually came to an area church and spoke in the region, a church that I attend. And he is a tremendous speaker. And he talks, and that's his ministry. And he would go before thousands upon thousands. I mean, I'm talking about the largest churches, Hillsong Australia, Hillsong New York, and he would share his testimony. Because his testimony wouldn't just be for people who were living the homosexual lifestyle. His testimony would be for people who were struggling with any kind of sexual sin. And that God would lead them out of that, and that God had promises for them, and that God loved them. And that was his ministry. He preached literally to thousands upon thousands. And the reason I say that, the reason I say it wasn't just pertaining to homosexual lifestyle, but to people who are dealing with different sexual sins, is that being, and I hate saying people are homosexual, because where have we found it right in this society to label people, to label them as homosexual or bisexual? See, I look at people as being more than just their sexual identity. I don't call myself a heterosexual, you know? I just don't do that. And I think that's demeaning in a way, to limit someone's description to, oh, well, you know, they're part of the LGBT community. Oh, they're lesbian, they're transsexual, they're homosexual. That to me seems to limit what's really that to me really seems to be a disservice to them. And it really seems to be more to the picture. There seems to be more going on than what the media and what all the arguments would say. And we're going to jump into that on the program here. It really lends itself to a deeper discussion than merely just, well, we're prejudiced. And to limit it to that, because beliefs actually do mean something. Some people, they don't mean anything, but to others, they mean everything. And to limit that is something that you simply can't do. If you do that, then you're just going to run out of, you're going to run out of your freedom. You really are. And there's no way around that. Because if you begin to do that, if you begin to say that, well, certain people's beliefs are not important, you lose your whole argument. You lose it entirely. Because when you have your argument limited to something as simple as, well, your beliefs are wrong, then that could be anything. That could be anything. And that's when you get into scary territory. So we're going to get back to that in just a second here on the program. Again, you can call in at 610-539-TALK, at 610-539-8255, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Again, thank you for listening to the program this morning. Toll free at 1-877-667-1180. Now, the homosexual lifestyle has so much more to it than merely just this is how my sexuality is. It's so much more to it than that. So we've got to look at these arguments in depth. We've got to look at them with a logical face on it. We can't just pick and choose what we want and what we don't want. We have to really take the argument as a whole. And again, today is a huge day because the Supreme Court, if you just tuned in, welcome. The Supreme Court just started, well, they're going to be hearing arguments today on homosexual marriage. So this is a huge day. And we have to make sure that we are ready for the different changes that could come to our nation because of this. In particular, Christians abroad. And as Christians, we need to be united with what we say with this. I believe that God's word is pretty clear, and we're going to get into that. And our scripture of the day talks straight to that point as to how we as Christians need to address this, not just where we stand on it, whether it's right or wrong, but also what we do about it and what we have with people who may be our friends, who may be our coworkers, how to deal with them day to day, and what's the Christ-like way to do that. We're going to get to that and more here on the program. Again, thank you for listening. It's a huge day today. It seems like so much can happen in the news when you're away. And we have to go away every weekend here. But we're going to jump right into it this morning. Again, call in. That's 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Toll free. We'll be back after this.
Friends, this is Janet Parshall, and you're listening to 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty and things that matter, right here in the Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the almighty ruler of the universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition."
The 2015 Commonwealth Prayer Breakfast will be held Tuesday, May 5th from 7 to 9 a.m. at the Radisson Penn Harris Hotel, 1150 Camp Hill Bypass in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. This year's breakfast theme is God Answers Our Prayers, and the featured speaker is Philip A. Clemens, Chairman of the Clemens Family Corporation and CEO of Hatfield Quality Meats. Mr. Clemens will share why God answers our prayers and how this has personally impacted his life journey. Cost for the breakfast is $25 per person, or $300 to sponsor a table of eight. Consider taking the time to join others in prayer on Tuesday, May 5th at this 2015 Commonwealth Prayer Breakfast. To reserve your spot by the April 30th deadline, or for event questions, contact Stephanie at 814-931-7841. That's 814-931-7841. 814-931-7841.
"If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Good morning. Welcome to the program from the studio in Jeffersonville on the Jeffersonville Golf Club. This is 1180's WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levin's here, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. That traffic is terrible. And, you know, we don't have internet here at the Freedom Station either. Today is the day of days, so we've got so much going on. I can't even believe the headlines myself that I'm looking at. That the National Guard, an additional police force, have been called into Baltimore. We've got our hands full this morning, don't we? You could go ahead and call in at 610-539. Yeah, let's get that 610-539-8255. Or 1-877-667-1180, toll-free. Destruction in Baltimore. We talked about this last week. thank you, CNN, and thank you, the large major news outlets for the rioting and the destruction, and where do I begin with this one? Let your voice be heard this morning. And I'm not on the phone anymore. You probably noticed that. I'm actually in the studio. Traffic is terrible. I was just telling the station manager, I was like, I'm going to have to leave an hour earlier. I was able to get here in 30 minutes, and it was no problem. And I was doing that even in the winter. And now traffic has just been horrendous. So we're here. Let's go ahead and talk. National Guard arrives in Baltimore as police commissioner admits rioters, quote, outnumbered us and outflanked us. National Guard troops, and this is from FoxNews.com. We don't have internet here, so I'm using my data for you this morning on my phone. National Guard troops arrived in Baltimore shortly after midnight Tuesday, almost 9 hours after a confrontation between black youths and police at a city mall mushroomed into riots, during which several businesses were looted and burned, and over a dozen officers injured. A few minutes earlier, City Police Commissioner Anthony Batts admitted that his officers were not prepared for the outbreak of violence that forced Maryland Governor Larry Hogan to declare a state of emergency, activating the Guard and Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake to announce a week-long 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew to take effect today. That's right, Tuesday. Quote, yes, we planned for it. That wasn't the issue, Batts told reporters late Monday. We just had too many people out there to overcome the numbers we had. The commissioner added that the rioters had pulled his officers to opposite ends of the city and had, quote, outnumbered us and outflanked us. Rawlings Blake described Monday as one of our darkest days as a city as she surveyed fire damage. Quote, too many people have spent generations building up this city for it to be destroyed by thugs who, in a very senseless way, are trying to tear down what so many have fought for. She added, it's idiotic to think that by destroying your city, you're going to make life better for anybody. But this has happened so many times before in our nation's history where there's been allegations of cop violence, cop abuse, and there have been riots that have destroyed cities. And it's from the very communities that are basically claiming to have bore the brunt of these acts at the hands of police. And then certain elements in the community, not the whole community, go ahead and destroy their own businesses. Now, while it may not be every element in the community that participates in something like that, I will say the community as a whole has that tone of violence. And I think that it's not violence as in we're going to burn down your business or something like that. Please don't get me wrong when I say that. When I say violence, I mean animosity. I mean bitterness. Now, plenty would say that there's a reason for that and that they're justified in that. And I get that. Okay? I get that people would say that. But that doesn't mean that that's the right approach. The only approach is God's forgiveness. No matter what it is. The only approach is God's forgiveness. Because bitterness and anger, even if you're justified, it will destroy you. It will destroy your city. It will destroy everything that you have hoped for and have tried to build over the years, as Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake so eloquently points out. Let's keep reading in this article and get more information as we go. Bath said the National Guard would be used to take control of what he called structures and fixed posts to support police efforts to regain control of the city's streets. Baltimore City Police said late Monday that two dozen people had been arrested as the violence grew Monday. Officers wearing helmets and wielding shields occasionally used pepper spray to keep the rioters back. For the most part, though, they relied on line formations to keep protesters at bay. After midnight Monday, authorities were still struggling to quell pockets of unrest. Now, this is, of course, coming after the wake of the death of Freddie Gray, 25-year-old man who had a severe spinal cord injury while he was in police custody. And this is all on the heels of what we were talking about last week. Gray was African American. Police have declined to specify the races of the six officers involved in his arrest. And quite frankly, why does that matter? So people will say, well, because the police are racist. Really? Really? So that's why the race of the six officers matters, because the police are racist. Is that really why you want to know? You just want to have an excuse to get out there. That's all that you want. The police. And you need their races? Why does that matter? All of whom have been suspended with pay while they are under investigation, by the way. Gray's family denounced the violence late Monday, saying it was not the way to honor him. You know, but we've all seen this story before. The family always condemns the violence, but then usually supporters, the protesters, or next thing you know, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson will be riding in their big limos, and they'll be calling and stoking the fire. And everyone knows no one wants violence. We condemn violence. We condemn violence, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen because people stoke the flames of anger. And the problem is, and the reason why you have riots is because they stoke the flames of anger with no remedy. They get people angry for no reason. They don't give them a solution. They don't give them some way to take care of it, some way to actually fix the issues in their community, if there are real issues with the police, or if it's just the crime rates in general. They don't give them real answers. They simply give them a way to vent their anger, and it's an unhealthy way, and it's a destructive way. And we've all seen this story before. So when is the story ever going to change? 610-539-8255. 610-539-TALK. Quote, I think the violence is wrong, Gray's twin sister, Frederica Gray, said. I don't like it at all. Well, good. The attorney for Gray's family, Billy Murphy, said the family had hoped to organize a peace march later in the week. Yeah, and that's what always happens. The attorney always sits there and says incendiary remarks about racism in the police, and then they expect everyone to just be quiet, and no one's going to have any angry reactions. And they always say, we never wanted violence, but we're so sad it came to this. This is just the anger of the community. We want this to be peaceful, and yet the violence happens every time. 610-539-8255, or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. What's the right way? What's the Christian way? What's God's way in dealing with this? Because I'm sick and tired of hearing people stoke the flames.
A Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. State of emergency is declared in Baltimore. Schools are closed and a 10 o'clock curfew starts tonight with 15 police officers hurt and 24 people arrested in riots over the death of a black man, Freddie Gray. He died after being arrested. The riots broke out after his funeral.
Those policemen should have been arrested, I'm saying, but as it is now, they're above the law and people are angry.
We never get justice where it's due when someone kills a black person or kills a person in general. It just goes push under the rug.
Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake.
I understand anger, but what we're seeing isn't anger, it's destruction of a community. The same community they say they care about, they're destroying. You can't have it both ways.
The National Guard's been called in with up to 5,000 police officers from around the region requested. This is a Fox News alert.
Oh,
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
With God's hand upon him, Nehemiah pursued the impossible. Rebuild broken walls, repair burned gates, restore a lost national identity. But Nehemiah had what few leaders have, a vision bigger than himself and a faith in God that wouldn't waver. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. At PPN, we encourage pastors to set their vision high, focus on God's calling and God's equipping, and boldly lead their people forward. Whether opposed by people, circumstances, or discouragement, Nehemiah did what godly leaders do. He went to his knees in prayer. He repented for his sins and the sins of the people. He beseeched God to hear the prayer of his servants who feared his name. Then he encouraged the people to work. Despite the opposition, the walls were rebuilt, gates repaired, identity found, and the worship of God restored. And you can do the same. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network.
Sign up as a partner and learn more about us at papastors.net.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
New day on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty, and an interesting one at that. You can call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Mike Levins here. It is Tuesday, and this is a huge day. We just had riots break out in Baltimore last night. That's not the news you wanted to hear this morning, right? So we had riots break out in Baltimore. We also have today the Supreme Court hearing arguments on homosexual marriage. We're going to talk about that here on the program and much more. So stay right there, because there's I wish we didn't have this much to talk about. I really wish we didn't. You know, honestly, welcome to the program. You can call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. We've got so much to talk about this morning. I wish we didn't have a lot to talk about. I wish things were a little easier. You know, I have to say that I hate politics. I really hate politics. That's just me. That is just me. But, you know, I was talking about before a gentleman by the name of Cy Rogers. And now in studio, not over the phone. But if you want to actually look up him, his name is Cy, S-Y. R-O-G-E-R-S. And he is a very interesting man. I had the pleasure to actually see him on every Sunday morning at our church. He actually went to our church. I want to read you a little bit of his testimony. Okay. Cy Rogers' childhood, it was a very tragic story. It was a lot of injustice and rejection. And this is compiled by Thomas Coy, and this was from CyRogers.com. And this was from his address at 2006 Exodus Freedom Conference in Marion, Indiana. So these are in Cy's own words. Not only were his mother and father separated from each other, the young Cy was separated from his father also. His mother was an alcoholic, and her boyfriend sexually abused Cy. When his mother was killed in a drunk driving accident, Cy was sent to the Midwest and raised by women. As Cy tells it, quote, being detached from my father, the only people raising me were women. The effect I picked up in conservative Midwestern culture caused me to become sharply aware in childhood that I didn't measure up to the standard. I grew up in a culture where I was further punished for not measuring up. Most of my classmates did not mistreat me, but there was that dedicated handful who made my life difficult and convinced me that I was gay. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand how I ended up in the only place that afforded me acceptance, homosexuality. Those are in Cy Rogers' own words. I'm going to keep reading this testimony. And having been molested and having been exploited, having experimented, I wound up there and lived everything from the promiscuous gay lifestyle while in the Navy in Honolulu in the 70s to later becoming involved in a gay church where I was the best man at one of Hawaii's first gay weddings in the late 1970s. So then I decided that while in college back in the American Midwest, that maybe the way to have a happier life was to have a sex change. Well, my gay friends in Hawaii had gotten married to each other. I wrote them an anniversary card, and they wrote me a letter saying, don't let everybody else tell you what to believe about heaven, hell, and homosexuality. Do your own research into the Bible, and if you do, you will discover what we have. The teachings of the gay church sounded really great, but as we read God's word objectively, he leads us in truth, and we felt convicted and convinced that the teaching from the gay church is an error. We've left our gay marriage and our lifestyle, and we are now born again and praying for you. Yeah, well, that wasn't my reaction. That's from Cy himself. And again, I know him personally. I have gotten the privilege to know him personally. He's a great man. So this is in his words. I'll keep reading. I thought they were stark raving mad. I knew born gay, can't change, shouldn't need to, gay is good, and so I was offended with their newfound faith, and I decided my way of being born again was through a sex change. I attempted to have a sex change, and I lived as a woman for 18 months in preparation for an operation that never happened, because God intervened in my life and opened my eyes to his reality. If you just tuned in, welcome to the program. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. You could call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. I'm reading a testimony from a man named Cy Rogers, this is Michael Evans here, I've known him personally. He's a man who led a homosexual lifestyle and who even wanted to get a sex change. And I'm reading his testimony right now. It's from a source from his website. This is compiled by Thomas Coy from CyRogers.com. This was part of his address at 2006 Exodus Freedom Conference in Marion, Indiana, and Cy Rogers' 2003 interview with Julius Osham. Quotations are in Cy Rogers' own words. That's what I'm reading right now, so I'll keep on reading. I wasn't looking for him, but I'm so thankful that while you can seek and find, how much nicer he goes looking for lambs who don't know enough that they are lost. So he intervened in my life, opened my eyes, and I said to my gay friends, I can't touch God in a tangible way, but I feel him tangibly affect me, that when I feel dirty, he makes me feel clean, and when other people look at me with contempt and make me feel unlovely and unwanted, he makes me feel valued and understood. And so whenever I am afraid, He gives me peace, and frankly, I need him more than I need you now, that I am tapped into that. So I began my journey with the Lord. These are in Cy Rogers' own words. And I always say I just wished that he'd waved his magic wand. 1, 2, 3, go be free. Go be straight, date, and mate. Bing. But it didn't happen. And again, this is in Cy's own words. And if you get to know him, he's very much a stage personality. He's very polished. Let's keep reading. But what he did begin to do was to give me grace to crucify flesh. And that's a Christian term. It's akin to Jesus being crucified on the cross, symbolic of the flesh dying, and now us living in new life through Jesus Christ. And he began to take me on a path that I would have never imagined. My wonderful wife, Karen, of almost 25 years, didn't marry me because she thought that her love could fix my homosexuality. She knew better. But she did say that I grew into a man who earned trust that she could respect. I'd been walking with the Lord for 10 years when the Lord finally put his finger on the issue of my unresolved childhood sexual abuse, which was very shaming for me to have to face and address. I'm thankful God gave me 10 years to grow toward a place of emotional health and strength where he could afford to touch that without it undoing me. People would say things to me like, you just need to shut up and move on and get over it, buck up and be strong. You need to walk away and forgive and let it go. And I knew all of that in my head, but that's not where the problem was. Now that I was finally facing it, I needed to know before I let it go, does this matter to anybody? Because it surely mattered to me. And in that moment, the Lord appeared in the therapist's office as a father figure in my mind. I have this vision, and in that vision, he showed himself to me as a father who said those profound words as he wept, and I began to weep, because I had never had anybody cry over what had happened to me. And as I cried, he didn't take away my history. He shared it with me and made me feel valued and loved. He said, your daddy sees it, and your daddy is sorry. It didn't change what happened, but it made me feel like that what happened mattered, and that made me feel valued and understood, the working definition of love. That's from Cy Rogers himself. And since God worked in his life and reached out to him in such a miraculous way, he has now been ministering, I want to say for over 20 years, in large churches like Hillsong Australia. You should look him up. Cy Rogers, Cyrogers. There are millions of people who feel just like Cy did in that testimony. And as Christians, that's why we're at the point where we are now in our nation. Here's our scripture of the day. This is Mark 4, verse 3. And this is leading up to the scripture. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Here's the scripture of the day. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. I pray that you'd hear this morning. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Mark Sizek, your host on This Is My Word, each Sunday at 8:05 a.m. Our speaker is Dan Peters, senior pastor at Limerick Chapel and author of the new book, 16 Counseling Sessions with the Wonderful Counselor. Join us each Sunday morning at 8:05 a.m. for a 25-minute Bible study with Dan Peters from Limerick Chapel, right here on WFYL 1180 a.m.
Do you have huge growth goals for your company but don't know how to get there from where you are now? Or has your business not been growing and you don't know why or what to do to get back to growth? Or are you in a different situation where your business has been growing rapidly by leaps and bounds, but you're experiencing growing pains and are concerned that your company might rather be overexpanding or won't be able to keep up with demand, both threatening your short and long-term profitability? If you are in any of these situations, we have the show for you. Accelerating Your Business, a new weekly call-in radio program every Thursday morning from 7:34 a.m. to 8 a.m. hosted by me, Michelle Faustin, your growth, market entry, and business expansion expert and president and CEO of MJF Strategy, will help you get and take your business to the next level by answering any and all questions related to growing your business profitably the right way. For a chance to have your questions aired and answered on our show, email me at askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. That's Accelerating Your Business, airing every Thursday morning from 7:34 to 8 a.m. on WFYL. Looking forward to hearing from you.
At a speech given at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference in Camp Hill on Friday, April 17, 2015, Cheryl Atkinson, investigative reporter and journalist, was asked for her thoughts on the Tea Party. Here is Cheryl's response.
Well, I'm interested in the Tea Party. I can't say I know that much about it, but for a story I did the last year I was at CBS, and I can't remember why I needed it. I want to know the latest poll numbers on support or lack thereof for the Tea Party. And I assumed, like a lot of people, everybody hates the Tea Party, nobody likes Tea Party, because that's sort of the theme you always hear, oh, the Tea Party, they're a bunch of this and that. Well, to my surprise, and I had no agenda, I just wanted the facts, the CBS polling unit called back and said the last poll we did showed, and I hesitate to use a number because I don't remember the number, but it was extraordinary. It's something, I'm going to say, upwards of 75% or more of Americans agreed with some of the values or the agenda of the Tea Party. And I don't know what they had listed as the values or agenda, or if they had, or they just posed the question. But I was like, that is so different than the reality. So I think there's been an AstroTurf campaign, of course, to controversialize the Tea Party because somebody sees that as damaging. And I think some of that's been within the Republican Party itself, which has done this to the Tea Party.
The liberty of the press consists in the right to publish with impunity truth, with good motives, for justifiable ends. To disallow, it is fatal. Alexander Hamilton, 1804.
It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. Toll free at 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. Thanks for listening this morning. Before we're reading a testimony from Cy Rogers, a man who led a homosexual lifestyle for years, participated in a gay church, was in line to get a sex change, who pursued God. God found him, spoke to him through a couple who used to go to the same gay church, meaning when I say that, meaning that they supported homosexual marriage, who then read God's word and realized that if you read it objectively, that God really does speak against homosexuality, who then turned away from their homosexual lifestyle and encouraged Cy to do the same, who reached out to God, who himself had been subject to physical and sexual abuse at the hands of an alcoholic boyfriend to his mother, not having a father in his life, who found God, not condemning him, who found God, not simply forcing him to move on, abject of all feelings or remorse or pain that may be left over from his abuse in childhood, but found God receptive to what had happened, waiting to heal it and restore it. Our scripture of the day today is Mark 4, verse 9. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. I encourage you to hear this morning, as we begin to hear arguments for homosexual marriage in the Supreme Court today, May we all have ears to hear. Now, I have heard many different arguments. As Christians, we need to be on the same page. Homosexuality, in God's word, is pretty clear where he stands on it. I believe that he is not in favor of it. I believe that it is an affront, not the people. I believe homosexuality is an affront to God's picture of Jesus Christ and the church. And here's why. I'll explain. I believe homosexuality contradicts that picture because Jesus laid himself down, his life down for the church. The church is a picture, as is referred to in Scripture, as the bride of Christ, in a very feminine characteristic. The church, one day, will be reunited with Jesus when he comes back. If you look at communion and what that means, communion, back in Eastern culture in that time, the very act of taking a cup of wine and drinking it, and Jesus saying, I will not drink of this, of the fruit of the vine again, until I come. In Eastern culture, that was a symbolism of marriage. A groom would drink and have communion and drink a cup of wine with his bride, and then would not drink of it again until he would go away, prepare a place for his bride, a home. This is in Eastern culture at that time. And then at a time when the bride did not know, when the bride was unaware, the groom would come back and take her away to be with him, and they would be consummated and be wed. And communion is a picture of that marriage between the church, referred to as the bride of Christ, and Jesus himself being the bridegroom, namely the groom, as we would say. We don't say the bridegroom today. But that is a picture of Jesus and the church, the masculine and the feminine, the groom and the bride coming together. And that picture of communion is a symbol of marriage. That's why I believe homosexuality is not God's will. I believe it's not his plan. I believe it's sin. And I just read a testimony. If you were listening before, if you just tuned in, welcome to the program. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. Let your voice be heard this morning. 610-539-8255 or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. I was reading the testimony of Cy Rogers, a man who had been homosexual for years. I was pointing out before that in psychology, the DSM, which is a manual that psychologists use to diagnose different psychological disorders, among those can be schizophrenia, depression, bipolar disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder. Until some years ago, homosexuality used to be in that manual as a pathology. And I made the point of why. Why is that the case? Apparently, the generation before us thought that homosexuality was just that, a pathology, and that it was something that needed to be addressed in a therapeutic way, not in a bolstering come into your own manner, where this is who you were meant to be. In fact, homosexuality, more often than not, stems from sexual abuse. I was just reading the testimony of Cy Rogers, and he was a victim of sexual abuse at the hands of his mother's boyfriend, who was an alcoholic. He actually wanted to get a sex change at one point in his life. He was a member of a gay church, had friends who were in that gay church. Those friends looked at Scripture, found that, and they said this to Cy, that what God's Word said in Scripture contradicts how we're living as our lifestyle. God has convicted us. We're no longer homosexual. We're not living together, and we encourage you to do the same. We love you, and we're praying for you. And he wasn't happy to hear that. You could call in and let your voice be heard this morning, 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. And I'm a little bit more reserved with the way that I'm talking about this than I have in the past, but there's a reason why. The Supreme Court hears arguments on homosexual marriage today. This is a very tender issue because the people who live this lifestyle have been through some of the most difficult things anyone in this life would ever have to endure. Something led them to that. They're not merely born that way. And I think that's the biggest lie. Something terrible led them to that. Whether it was a broken family, or whether it was abuse, or whether it was drugs or alcoholism, or whatever you want to throw in there, something led them to that. Statistics show that. Whatever it is, and that's why I'm being so reserved, because I know that there's so many issues at play. This is not merely a we're right, you're wrong, submit, or we're going to have problems. This is so much more than that, and it's been reduced to that in our nation. And that's a sad thing. We're going to get into the arguments just a little bit more. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. We got to hit a break, but we'll be right back in the next hour, right after this.